Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning and welcome back to Happy Hour here, which we do every single Sunday morning with a Jonna Spilbor and a Carol Pesci and a myself, Frankenberry.
The only Frankenberry.
Yes,
right.
We have returned and welcome back. Thank you for joining us again. Ladies, how are we today?
You know what today is, right?
You're saying that with a slightly...
irritated tone.
Irritated.
Because
irritated, angry, possibly tone in your voice.
It's bad enough that I have been and am sleep deprived.
I'm with
you
there.
But now we got an hour less of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There is that.
Oh.
And wait, Carol, you know, we really do need to go back to some of those cheesy kind of quick setup sound effects that we had.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, like, right now, we just need, like, a group of people singing, "It's Jonna Drama."
I agree.
With a zip and a zap.
Remember the bee bag one? It's a bag of bee. I don't know if I can say it.
No, can't say it.
Oh my gosh.
Fun's
yes,
over.
I agree.
Yes.
I normally don't complain about. I said,
oh
wait.
Oh my God.
I didn't say I normally don't complain, period. I said I normally don't complain about.
Okay.
Fine.
Is it daylight saving time or daylight regular time that this is now?
I don't know. I don't know if saving has an S on it or not when you
it does
it.
Not. So it's daylight either saving or regular time. I don't know. But I usually
have an S on the end, though. I always say it with an S.
Everybody does, even though it's wrong. But I like it because now we get actually more daylight, which I am totally into.
We don't get more daylight.
There's daylight.
It's lighter later.
And we get more of it. Yes. Well, when you're me and you don't ever sleep, you get a whole ton of daylight because you're awake all the time.
So I think what Carol was saying, though, actually, is that...
Oh, what Carol was saying...
was probably absolutely right.
What Carol was saying was, yes.
It was a great
point.
It was
brilliant.
Right. She's always right. But I just wanted to mention, in case anybody didn't know, that today was daylight saving or regular time.
So, yes, everybody's aware at this particular point that they lost an hour of sleep at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, everybody is aware of that. So... I thought I would celebrate the day by pissing off every single mother who might be within earshot of us right now.
Okay.
Well, go big or go home.
I'm either going to make mad every mom who's listening or you know what? There could be several moms out there who might say to me, "You are absolutely right, you barren, childless, opinionated person, you."
A non-mother.
All right. So you had just alluded to, so last week, one of my favorite comedians was in town, Sebastian Maniscalco, came to...
He's hilarious.
Poughkeepsie. I've seen him all over the place, but it was, you know, and the Civic Center, which is no longer called the Civic Center, was totally jam-packed. Anyway, so we went to, he puts on a great show, in case anybody's not gone,
is
thinking
so
of going.
Funny.
He really is funny. His shows are fantastic. So me and several of my cousins were going to the later show last Saturday. So the later show technically began at 9:30, but it really didn't begin till 10 p.m. Okay, fine. The place is packed to the gills because they want to make some money, and they put the rows very close together, like worse than when you're on an airplane.
Oof.
And so you remember not that long ago the video that went viral with the guy who was trying to make mad the person seated in front of him because she's punching her seat because she had the audacity to lean back in seats that lean back. Well, what happened to us is a little bit of a version of that.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah. So, okay. So, for starters... let me hearken back to many, many moons ago.
You're the only person I know who ever uses that word.
Hearken.
Correct.
So we're hearkening back to when I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Oh, no, them, nobody else says
them,
that either.
To them, they're good old Jonna days.
To them, they're good old Jonna days, knee-high to grasshopper. And the reason I'm harkening back to that time is because my parents were very weird and strict, and they still are. But when I was a kid, it was a rare occasion that they brought me out in public to any place where I might annoy adults. Now, I was allowed to go out in public to plenty of other
places. Were you aware of this restriction?
Oh, yes. I was aware of this restriction. But the funny thing is, I was one of those children who didn't really annoy adults. Like, my parents were so... had me so petrified that I would accidentally annoy an adult, like maybe by sneezing or coughing.
Or breathing.
That, right, so that I would, you know, the fact that I was not allowed to be out near adults was fine with me, but I was allowed to go to like the Catskill Game Farm and all those fun things.
I was allowed out.
I was allowed out occasionally to do kid stuff, but only kid stuff.
Your parents were just being proactive, that's all.
I guess
being embarrassed by their child scene.
Back in the day.
Right.
And I remember specifically like going out to dinner with my parents, which would happen very rarely. But when it did, like it was almost torture because, I had to sit quiet. I couldn't fidget. I couldn't do the things that normal children like to do.
Crawl under tables.
And then a lot of children in this day and age do, which... now gets on my nerves, and the reason is why it's because my parents screwed me up. Okay, so we were there. We're all on the same page.
Okay, we're with you.
So we jam ourselves into this event, and I don't have the greatest seats, but that's neither here nor there. So seated directly, so let's say there's three of my cousins, when I was with more than three, but the seat one, two, and three was my cousin M, my cousin L, and then me. And in front of my cousin M, there is a child who could not have been more than seven, eight. Now, this is an adult comedian on a Saturday night. For the late show. So immediately, my hackles go up because I'm like, it just, you know, I completely understand when parents have to take little children places that you don't want to have to take them, whatever, the DMV, or whatever, right? I get it. But to like, they made a conscious decision to take this young child out to an adult show at that hour, and okay, fine. So I make a mental note to silently hate the mom. And
now, of course, it is possible, by the way, that they lost their babysitter and bought an extra ticket, right? I'm assuming these were general admission seats?
Oh, heck no.
Oh, okay, so they weren't.
These seats set you back. No, and that was a sold-out show. I had to buy mine on the secondary market.
So they went
ahead
and bought a third ticket for their child.
This was planned.
Okay.
This was absolutely planned. All right, so that's all well and good. So the moment the show starts, and again, even though, you know, occasionally I will exaggerate, this is not going to be one of those times. Now, and the kid is seated in front of us. He begins to twirl his mother's hair. Now, we are, and I'm telling you,
nerve.
We are, but we are so on top of each other, and that's nobody's fault except the Civic Center's, that, you know, like our faces are kind of in the back of their heads because there's no, they had the seats really, really close. So he starts to twirl his mother's hair. Now, that becomes something that's like the thing in the room, right, that we can't help but look at. And then while he's twirling his mother's hair nonstop, you know, he stretches up an arm to twirl it high in the air, and then he would lower back down, and he would stretch again, and he twirled it high. And he did this incessantly.
Oh, no.
And non-stoppably for the entire hour and a half.
Oh, no.
And I said to myself, like, it was one of those times where do you say anything or do you just kind of try to ignore it and suck it up because it's a mild distraction? But if you analyze it objectively, like, kid's not hurting anybody. He's just twirling his mother's hair.
And there could be a situation still where the mom and dad could be big fans, and they just realized on this particular weekend they didn't have the ability to get a sitter, so they had to buy a third ticket. I mean, it's certainly possible that they only brought the child because they had no choice.
Oh, no. They had a choice to stay home. Like, that was...
Right, but...
There was a choice.
This could be a guy that they're a big fan of. Like you said so yourself, you are. This is a show you didn't want to miss. It could be a show that the parents did not want to miss, but they knew they had to take their kid because they had no other option. It's a night out for them, and they didn't want to screw up their night out because they looked forward to this guy because he's very good at what he does. He sells places out all the time. He does five shows at Madison Square Garden or whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was the only way they could go out and see this guy that they really like was good. They had to bring the 8-year-old with them.
I would say there's a good chance of that because if you had another choice,
right?
Even though you love your kid, would you really want them there for that show?
If there is somebody available to babysit that child, but you know in advance, listen, it's not going to happen. Nobody's around. Maybe they're just a set of parents that they don't have folks that are available to babysit for them.
Maybe you should start bringing Benadryl to public places.
Do you remember the story?
Yes, the airline stewardess.
Yeah, I think he got arrested, as he should, for drugging a baby who was being noisy on a plane. Now, I like that you're advocating for this family, and I get it. But you don't care right now. I know. Because it was just this perfect storm. Like, if the seats had been a normal, if the rows had been a normal width apart, so that the twirling and the elbows and the raising of the hands and the poor kid, not a poor kid. He got to see a show with his parents, but he's fidgeting. And I'm guessing because he could have been exhausted. If I'm 8 and it's 11 o'clock at night,
I'm tired at 11.
Yeah. Well, and when I was 8, I was tired at 11. I just went through that brief period from teenage to 25 where I could stay up at 11 and it was fine. But those days are gone. But if you're going to bring your child with you, your young child with you, then he shouldn't be raising his hands in the air and trying to stand up and not stand up because when it's distracting.
And the parents weren't addressing it at all?
No, because I don't think, and it wasn't like anybody was trying to be annoying. I just don't even, they were engrossed in the show.
Right.
Like, we were all trying to be engrossed in the show. And they didn't think anything of it. Because, to them it was like, it was almost as if they forgot they were in public and they thought they were sitting on their own couch. It was like that.
There could be some truth to that.
Which I'm sure was fun for them, and I totally get it. But it was like, we just couldn't stop staring at the kid who was making the twirls. And so wanted to make the best of bad situation. And it could have been worse. But it did remind me of the video that went viral because, of the whole plane situation. And we forget... when we go out, and I'm very mindful of that because I'm a jerk and my parents instilled in me to be a jerk, but I'm like hypersensitive to, being courteous and not doing anything to get on anyone's nerves, except when I'm on the air once a week with you two. Then I am okay to get on everyone's nerves.
Which, by the way, we have noticed.
I know. So I just, and obviously nobody said anything about it, and it's not a situation where I felt that, we needed to tap anybody on the shoulder and say, can you please sit still? But I bet you, other people might have. Have you ever had to, either one of you?
It would take a lot.
Yeah, like what would it take?
To speak up. I don't know.
Like in a restaurant, like if anybody was being loud, like there was that time, and we were just talking about, not us guys, another group of us were talking about this the other day when me and my office were in a restaurant, Christmas time, our Christmas party,
and
we got chastised
for
having fun.
And you got kicked out, would you get kicked out of second place too?
Yeah.
They wouldn't let you in.
That's right. They knew you were coming.
Nope.
And you got mad because you found out they knew you were coming and you went to a third place.
We got kicked out of place number one because we were having fun at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 days before Christmas.
A bunch of lawyers.
Right. Because we were laughing and I guess being loud. But I don't know how you cannot be loud. But anyway, so kicked out of there. Then we went to the second place, got kicked out of there, but not because not because we were being obnoxious, but because one of my staff didn't bring his driver's license.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Okay.
And then that place called the place that we were going to, and the place that we, and they let us in, and they're like, oh, yeah, we heard. You know, this place called us before you.
But they knew you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we heard.
Yeah. But I don't think, so while I sit here and complain about it now, I don't think I have ever, like, so whoever complained about us in the place we got kicked out of was like, hey, those people are having too much fun. We're sitting here trying to have dinner at 5 o'clock at Christmas time in a bar, and you need to do something about it. And then they kicked us out. Like, if I were working at that place, I would have been like, everybody's here to have fun. Sorry. No? Is it me? You guys are looking at me like I got
I'm trying to think of what I would... I doubt I would say anything. It takes a lot for me to speak up. But I'm just trying to think of options. Like, too bad you didn't have a bunch of single dollars in your wallet that you could have been... Hey, kid. For every 10 minutes you sit still, I'll give you another buck.
I'll give you a buck.
It's better than the Benadryl.
Or 20 bucks a person in a row in front of you on a switch rows. Then the people behind you would hate you.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't think in all of these.
But I wouldn't appreciate it. I'm with you that I wouldn't appreciate that constant distraction and the hands in the air.
I mean, to tell you the truth, and I'm probably at least over the last 5 or 6 years or so, not a good person to ask about these situations because I'm never
in. Involves other people.
Yeah, and it involves me leaving my house, and it involves me spending money, which I don't have. So, but I mean, yes, there's been times in the past, like when I recently, a couple of years ago when I went down to spring training, yes, there was a child on the plane that was loud, but what am I going to do? I mean, and I'm not going to be upset with the parents. They're going down to see grandma and grandpa. Yeah. They're bringing the kid with them. Kids cry. It's what happens. You just deal with it.
You suck that up.
Yeah,
you
stick your head in a book and you wait till the plane lands.
Right.
But I mean, with restaurants and that kind of thing, I was there with my ex and Jagger when Jagger, her son, was really difficult as a child. So we had our moments of being the ones that the other people would be coming over and possibly saying something to us. So I am never really a person to go after or be upset with somebody else that maybe has brought a child with them, because I know, like Maria and I, in those particular situations, we didn't have anybody that particular night, but we told ourselves we were going to go out to dinner, and we did, you know, and we had, you know, we dealt with some situations that weren't the greatest sometimes, but, you know, so I have a little bit more empathy, I guess.
I know, and eating to me is a little more necessary than going to a comedy show.
Well, yeah, there is that. But again, like I said, my benefit of the doubt, as long as they're not being, you know, idiots, and as long as, you know, the kid's not completely out, you know, out there, then I will give them the benefit of the doubt as to why they had to bring the child with them.
Well, yes, and you did. But speaking of eating, so here I'll out myself now real quick. So anyway, it was a really good show. Despite that. Now, the next day was a Sunday, and I had to work all day.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had to work all day. And on top of that, doing administrative stuff, because at the beginning of the month you have to do that. And the program that we use for this stuff, the work that I had to do, had this weird malfunction, and they had no customer service. So everything that I had to do took me 10 times as long. That was my punishment for, you know, putting a pox on the family that was sitting in front of us. Anyway, so now I'm home, and now you guys know I don't feed myself ever. I do not cook. I barely know how to use a stove. I can hardly boil water. But now here I am at my house working all day. I kind of, you know, not showered, blah blah blah. So I decide to pull some food out of my freezer, and I'm going to figure out how to use the stove.
Thankfully,
I'm put
for
in
your
it.
Mother who yes. cooks.
Yes, and my freezer's full of her leftovers. So I do that, and fortunately, before I turned on my oven, I opened it up because I wasn't sure if, like, it still had the packing inside it, and I've had the oven for like a year and a half.
Or if something was living in there.
Right. So this is so funny. So I open the oven, and sure enough, there are things in there.
Styrofoam and plastic brochures.
No. No.
User manual.
There were lids to food containers that I immediately identified as I stored them in there when I threw my mother her birthday party, which, Carol, as you know, was in August of 2019. It was March 1st, 2020.
Wow.
That I had not stuck my face or needed to turn on my oven In case anybody thinks I'm exaggerating, that's I awesome. Ain't. I am so undomesticated. It's not fun. And that made me laugh. That was the only thing that made me
that
laugh.
Is pretty, I love that. That would, I love that when would, you get a kick out of yourself.
That would make me laugh as well. It would.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's great.
Like how they just... I know. Well, so bad at it. Anyway, I'm still hungry from last week now, but... All right, so we're doing
something different this week.
Yes.
When it comes to our guest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll let you explain it because you remember the interview a bit better than mine. Plus, you know her.
Yes. So we're actually going to do an encore performance of a guest that we had on. You're saying we had her on
January of last year.
Right. Which is when I used my oven the time before my mother's birthday.
Right. Right. One of the two times in the entire year.
Yes. So we are going to rerun a fabulous interview with my good friend, who's also an attorney and a speaker, Heather Hansen. When we interviewed her the first time, she was on the cusp of releasing her first book, which is called The Elegant Warrior. Since then, the book has come out and it's doing fabulous. She has also started a podcast of the same name, The Elegant Warrior. She has fantastic interviews weekly. I think every Monday they drop. And she has been going out on tour, basically publicly speaking. She's kind of stepped away from practicing law and she is doing this Elegant Warrior speaking tour. So we thought it'd be a good time to rerun our interview with her. If you haven't gotten her book, The Elegant Warrior, it's available every place, and it's or listen to her podcast of the same name, The Elegant Warrior. I promise you, she's got a lot of great guests that are there to empower, enlighten, entertain, kind of like us, and it'll be a good encore performance from Heather Hansen.
And she's all about being strong,
mm-hmm.
assertive when you need to, speaking up for yourself and others, but doing it gracefully.
Yes.
Like she was a trial attorney, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And she talks about the tough situations that she's been in and where she's had to advocate for others, and she kind of teaches you how to advocate better for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And she does it in an easy, understandable way. Mm-hmm. So I promise you, you're going to enjoy the interview. I want to say a couple things when we get done with her interview when we come back after listening to our encore performance of Heather Hansen, author of The Elegant Warrior.
All right. That sounds good. That is what is on the way. You are listening to Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with John Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. Don't go nowheres. We'll be right back.
Don't go nowhere.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And this is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci, and we are back for segment number two. And of course, segment number two is where we get a chance to talk to some of our fantastic guests, and we have another one right now that Jonna is good friends with, and she's, I guess, what'd you say, working about... trying to make a transition
from one
success to another.
I'm going to say, I love it. Every once in a while, Carol and I get to actually interview somebody who's in our lives, like one of our very good friends. Yep. We have a short list.
We know cool people.
Yeah, we do. We know some cool people. We have a short list of them. And I'm really excited because on the line with us today is my friend Heather Hansen. Now, I met Heather from doing television because Heather is also a, quote, talking head. But she is also my friend and the author of an upcoming book that's going to drop in April called The Elegant Warrior, How to Win Life's Trials Without Losing Yourself. And she's got a podcast of the same name. So before we jump
love
in,
that.
I know, it's amazing. Let me give you her official bio. Heather Hansen is a trial lawyer. Duh, just told you that. She has defended medical malpractice cases for over 20 years, was recently inducted into the American College of Trial Lawyers. That's actually a big deal. And is consistently named one of the top 50 female attorneys in the state of Pennsylvania, which is awesome. Heather works as a communication consultant, combining her courtroom experience, this is key for her book, with her psychology degree and her training as a mediator to help her clients ask better questions, master objections, and use credible persuasion to succeed. She has appeared on CNN, Yup, NBC, Yup, Fox News Channel, Yup, and Good Day Philadelphia, and is the host of the Elegant Warrior podcast. Heather lives in New York City, and she sometimes goes to brunch with me. Heather, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be here. You were one of my first guests on the podcast, and everyone loved that episode. So I'm so excited to sort of turn the tables.
This is going to be a lot of fun. So I was telling my co-host off the air that one of the things I adore about you is that I really think you're an inspiration, and not just because both of us are attorneys and we've both been practicing law for a very long time, but I admire that. You know, I want to know the story about one day did you just wake up and say, practicing law is nice, but I also want to be a public speaker. I also want to be an author. I also want to be a podcast entrepreneur. Like, how did you go from being a fantastic trial lawyer to wanting to do something else or something different?
You know, it's an interesting question. I'll start. I once heard Lee Iacocca give a random quote where he talked about needing to repot yourself every few years. And, you know, plants grow out of their pots. And if they don't get repotted, they stop growing. They don't die. They just stop growing. And that resonated with me. And I started to, you know, being a trial lawyer, as you know, Jonna, it's very challenging. But I started to want different kinds of challenges. So it sort of was little steps. Like, first I started doing a lot of speaking to doctors, and I loved it. And I was traveling internationally and speaking to doctors in Kuwait and Ireland, and I loved it. And then I started doing a little bit of writing, and I loved it. And then I started coming to New York and doing some television, and that's how I met you, and I loved it. So it was a lot of little steps to repot myself as much as I could. And then those little steps became a little bit bigger in writing the book and starting the podcast and starting my own consulting firm. And so it didn't feel like this great big leap from one pot to the other. It sort of felt like small steps, like I was some sort of a creeping vine going from one pot to the other. But ultimately, I think I have now found a pot that gives me lots of room to grow.
See, I love that analogy.
Mm-hmm. I do love this, too, because I think I think we all have creativity in us, or it comes to us through us, mm-hmm. and it's incredibly gratifying when we hear it, when we connect to it, when we act on it. Mm-hmm. I think those are some of my most joyous, fulfilling, happy times is when I'm dialed into my creativity. And I think when you have, and I'm sitting here, my jaw drops. She has a psychology degree. She's a trial lawyer. Right. Not in a million years could I ever do what you do. But now you're just starting to, not now, but you're recently allowing mm-hmm. yourself these outlets for your creativity. And you're just following where it takes you without making a major upheaval life decision. You're following that.
Mm-hmm. And I think, Carol, part of that is age. You know, you start to follow your bliss,
yes,
where it leads you instead of fighting with it.
Yep.
Because I never considered myself creative. You know, I always liked to write. And when I was a young girl, one of the things that has my mom most excited about the book coming out is that I read so many books as a child. And now, you know, I'm a woman who's written a book. Mm-hmm. But I never, you know, law school, you don't get to write creatively.
No.
You write very logically.
Exactly.
And so this has been a real chance to embrace my creativity, especially when I plan my consulting work, the workshops and the speeches. I mean, that's really creative, and
sure,
I absolutely love it. But I don't know that I would have had the chutzpah to do this 15 years ago.
See, and that's another thing. One of the other reasons why I love your story is because we actually, Carol and I, know a couple people who have done this, and I want our listeners to know that you don't have to, if you want to make a change. I like your creeping vine theory. You don't
Me
have
too.
To.
Yeah.
You don't have to quit your job all of a sudden and yeah. then just try to do the new thing that you want to do, without having that sort of safety net. Now, I'm not knocking it. Some people successfully do it that way. It's like burning the boats, but for most of us, I'd say we need to make the transition a little slower and maybe a little bit safer,
and start following the clues.
Right, and start following the clues.
Yeah. And it's an interesting discussion because, you know, like someone like Gary Vee, he's a big mm-hmm. fan of just leaping. But the truth is, studies show that if you sort of keep it to a side hustle, as we call it, mm-hmm. For a couple of years, as you start to feel yourself out, usually the people who do that tend to be more successful in their endeavors. I hope that bodes well for me. But I think that ultimately, you know, even this business, so right now I'm doing communications consulting and I really have found my sweet spot, but it's iterated a couple times. It's had different, it's looked different in the few years that I've been doing it. So I think that, you know, the creeping vine is perfect because it winds around and it goes up and down. And some days it goes fast and some days it goes slow. And some days I'm afraid I'm creeping back into the old pot. And, you know, it's never perfect.
I like that, though. So, but all of this creeping led you to
creeper. There's a difference.
Yeah, a wonderful premise to your book, which I think will resonate obviously with people who don't practice law for a living, but you do draw on your acumen as a practicing trial lawyer. And again, the book is called The Elegant Warrior, and I love that. How to Win Life's Trials Without Losing Yourself. So let's talk about the book.
Well, so it's funny because, you know, as a woman, there's all kinds of studies that show that we're really good at advocating or standing up for our families, our friends, our businesses,
yep.
And we're not good at all at standing up for ourselves. And, you know, in our jobs, Jonna, we stand up for people all the time. Mm-hmm. And yet in my life, I tended to be more avoidant of conflict and more afraid to stand up for myself personally. And then I kind of realized that if I applied the tools that I used in the courtroom to my life outside the courtroom, whether that be in business or personal with family or friends or a partner, I was able to advocate for myself a whole lot more easily and a whole lot more effectively. And so I wrote the book to share those tools, the tools that we use in the courtroom outside of the courtroom. So things like how to deal with complaints, how to deal with discovery, how to deal with objections. All of those things happen outside the courtroom. And the way that we deal with them in the courtroom can give us some insight on how to deal with them outside.
Wow, they happen all the time. And it's like life imitating life, right? Life outside the courtroom, mm-hmm. or vice versa. Life in the courtroom can imitate life outside the courtroom. So I love that sparked you. Can you give us just a couple, because the book's coming out in April, of your favorite examples or something that we might find in the book?
Well, so, you know, it goes sort of in chronological order of the lawsuit, and it starts with complaints, because in our cases, especially civil cases, they start with complaints, and it really is just numbered complaints, like they did this, and they did that, and they did this, and they did that, and if the case just ended there, nothing would happen. Like, we have to read the complaint, we have to respond to the complaint, but then we have to start asking questions, doing discovery, looking for evidence, and moving, filing motions. And so I think that one of the main things that you can learn is that a complaint is fine, but it's what you do with the complaint, how you follow up on the complaint, that's going to dictate whether you win or lose. Mm-hmm. And so there's a chapter on complaints, and that's one of the first chapters. But even before that, and I wanted to bring this up because I know, Carol, you've written a book about, and you talk about how the things that happen to us, we can't choose, but you can choose how you respond to them.
100%.
And that's the reason for the title. The root of the word elegant is to choose. And I think that we choose our elegance, and in times of conflict, you know, whether it's in the courtroom or outside the courtroom, you choose how you respond to that conflict. But my point is it should be an active choice. You should be saying, this is who I am.
Yep.
This is who I want to stay true to. I do not want to go there in this argument. And it changes.
Right.
You know, sometimes you do want to go there, but sometimes you don't. And so to know what the choices you've made so that you can stand by them, I think is a theme that goes throughout the whole book.
And handle it in a way such that once it's behind you, you're proud of who you are in relationship to that.
It's so funny because that's a big part of how the book ends. You know, you need to be able to look yourself in the mirror. And I know a lot of lawyers and a lot of people who do things that might make that hard for them. And you need to be able to walk away from a conflict, whether you win or lose, knowing that you handled it in a way that you chose and that you're comfortable with.
Win or lose.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell these guys a text that I sent you in the last couple of weeks. So I was at work and I had an argument with an insurance adjuster on the phone, and it got nasty. Like I was not my best self, right?
Aww.
So I was like, really, like I just let it go. Like I totally forgot all decorum and I just let
it
go.
I was not on your shoulder,
You were not on my shoulder. So I get in the car and I text Heather and I said, well, I guess I'm going to need a little refresher on how to be an elegant warrior.
And but she, you know,
go ahead, Jonna.
Do you remember what you she texted me back? She's like, sometimes you're elegant and sometimes you're the warrior. Because that's what we talked about when I was on her podcast.
Right.
And I was like, thank you.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, we talked about that in the podcast, and I think that that's absolutely right. I mean, that's why it's not called the elegant lady, but it's also not called, right. You know, the kick-ass warrior.
Right.
Because for me, elegance includes certain things, and so I'm not willing to. But you certainly have those days when you have to fight, and you certainly have those days where that fight goes places. You know, there's a chapter in the book that sort of speaks to the Me Too movement a little bit, because women are rare in trial law. And so I have run up on circumstances where people have said things that I didn't like and have treated me in ways that I felt were disrespectful. And then you have to decide how you're going to respond to that. And, you know, whether you're going to get down and dirty, and sometimes you have to, or whether you're going to rise above. You know, I love Michelle Obama. I love that when they go low, we go high. And I think 99.99999% of the time, that's something that you can do. But I know some days, Jonna, like your day with that insurance adjuster, that's really hard.
Oh. Yeah. It is absolutely.
Yeah, and I completely agree. I mean, look, I would love to be able to take the high road all the time and be able to look at myself and say, listen, Steve, you did take the high road, you know? But there are some times, where you just can't and you got to fight with them.
Yep. Well, and it's funny how we women feel really uncomfortable with that, and we're more likely to go low on behalf of someone else than on behalf of something that is important to us. And that's an interesting thing that I think we have to work through in order to really own our own elegant warrior.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because as attorneys, sometimes we have to go to bat for people who personally, we would have no relationship with at all if given a choice, right? Maybe it could be somebody that we don't like all that much, so to speak. But we like ourselves, and you know, and yet we will fight harder for somebody who we, you know, might not appreciate on the level that we appreciate our own selves. And that's kind of weird.
It's weird. No, it's really weird. But it's sort of, you know, it's sort of consistent with how women are. You know, if someone is depending on us, we will do almost anything. You know, there's a study that was recently quoted in the Harvard Business Review that said that women are actually, no offense, Frankenberry, but men usually act unethically anyway. But, you know, they may lie in negotiations anyway. Women don't lie in negotiations when they're negotiating on their own behalf, but they're more likely to do so when they're negotiating for someone else.
Really?
And I think, It's, you know, I think that it bears more discussion why we're willing to do that. But I think a lot of it is, if you know someone is depending on you, we as women really want to meet expectations.
And we're willing to risk more.
Yes. Yes. Mm. And willing to give up more of what's important to us. And that's not good on the side of when we're advocating for someone else. And maybe we should be more willing to do that, not be unethical, but do more, you know, to take the same, go to the same lengths when we're advocating for ourselves. Because to your point, Jonna, we're supposed to love ourselves.
Right.
We're supposed to be our own best client.
Exactly. And I suppose you can make the argument that if you aren't your own best client, if you don't love yourself, you're not going to be as effective as you ultimately could until you do. I think.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's another chapter in the book. But talking about, you know, we talk, right. And well, it could be, because I think we talk a lot about self-care, and I'm really into massages and facials and manis and pedis, as you know. But I think that the first step in self-care is setting boundaries.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, don't you know, if you can't set boundaries, then you're not going to get, the massages aren't going to do you any good. And I think part of that is advocating for yourself. You know, this is what I'm willing to do, and this is what I'm not willing to do. And that makes you a better advocate for everybody else.
I think when you figure out how to start setting boundaries, and again, I think in an elegant way, it's not against somebody, it's for you and what you want. Yeah. I think it's a major confidence and self-esteem booster that you're saying, hey, this is what I'm willing to tolerate. This is what I'm not. This is what I want. Yep. This is what I don't want. And being okay with that.
It's a huge career booster. You know, in the book, I talk about making objections. And when you make an objection, you're setting a boundary. You're saying you crossed the line.
Right.
And it took me a long time. I learned how to object in the courtroom, but it took me a lot longer to learn how to object in my personal life. And I love, Carol, that you just said there's a difference between against you and for me.
Yep.
Because it doesn't have to be personal. It doesn't have to be aggressive. Right. It's just for me. And that has to come first.
Right. It's not hurtful. You're not doing the setting, right. Saying no so you cause pain to another person. I don't think that ever advances the state of your own condition or life or happiness. It's making a decision for you and your peace. Like I just wrote about this on Hello Beautiful, to protect your peace. Right. Whatever it is in your life and the people around you and what you're choosing to do, put a very, very high value on your internal sense of peace. Protect it. Like, it's a treasure. It is.
It is.
You're not hurting other people in doing that. It's the whole putting your mask on first kind of thing, mm-hmm. so that you can be your best self for other people. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, I want your opinion on this, Heather, and then we're going to quickly talk about the podcast. But, like, I find myself along those lines of, like, preserving my peace. I lately seem to have, when there's somebody's trying to engage me in an argument, and this is typically professionally, but it could be on a personal level too, instead of engaging back, even elegantly, I just ignore them. And to me, that's like a technique. That's like saying, you're not going to get a rise on me. I'm not going to engage.
That's
doesn't
setting a
matter.
Boundary.
And you can keep on, you know, blabbing your gums, flapping your gums all you want, and I'm not going to acknowledge it. And that works for me.
Yeah, I think listen, when that's possible, you know, unfortunately, that's not always possible. Like,
right.
if I'm in the courtroom in the middle of trial, I can't ignore the other lawyer as much as I might like to.
Right.
But I do think that when you can do that, then you're just keeping that energy completely, you know, you've set more than a boundary, you've set yourself like a shield.
I built a wall.
You know, like an invisible shield. Right. Right. And that's great when you can do it. But, you know, when I give my workshops, I draw pictures of like boundaries, because you've also got to look at who's most impacted by your boundary. You know, like the people that are closest to that line are the ones that you most have to discuss it with and explain it to them. So if it's your family, you have to explain, like, I'm doing this for me. It's not against you. It's not to hurt you. Ultimately, it will help you. But then your work people, you don't have to explain your boundary to them in that situation, because it's one that's between you and your family. There's other situations where the boundary has to be set between you and your work. So I think every time that you're considering this, you have to sort of consider who's most impacted by the boundary I'm about to draw. And should I talk to them and get their, not input necessarily, but just allow them to express themselves about the boundary so that maybe we can agree upon it instead of having to fight about it at all?
That's awesome. And I think that I can't wait to read the book. And since we'll finish up on the book, because what I want to tell you to do is you need to make an audio version of the book, because so I can get it immediately, because I know I will listen to it before I actually read it, because
Definitely doing that. As soon as I get, you might hear, I'm losing a voice a little bit. So as soon as I get my voice back, I'm planning on doing that.
Good.
It will be out the same day as the book, for sure.
Oh, okay. That's
now
awesome.
She's happy.
You can record it in your podcast studio. And so let's touch on that. So I want everybody to know that you have a podcast, same name as the book, Elegant Warrior. And you have some pretty... Mm-hmm. Aside from yours truly, you have some pretty awesome guests, and it's weekly every Monday, right, on iTunes?
That's right. Every Monday morning on iTunes it comes out, and I've had the most generous, amazing, wonderful guests. Donna, your episode is one of the highest ranked. You were amazing. Isn't that
no surprise?
Excuse me. Yeah, exactly. But we've had Judge Aquilina, who was the judge in the Larry Nassar case, that terrible gymnast molestation.
Yep.
She came on. She was amazing. This week it was Kara Brookins. She is a woman who wrote a book about the fact that she and her children left an abusive relationship with her husband and built a house from foundation up by watching videos on YouTube.
I know, that's crazy.
Really?
It's crazy. Oh, my gosh. You've got to check it out. It's you know, it's an interesting, for men and women, she said a lot of men come up to her and say, my gosh, if you did that, I should really get to working around the house. But, you know, it's...
I could at least hit the hamper with my socks.
You know?
You built a house. I can't even hit the hamper. Oh, my God.
Small steps. But she was great. She was this week, and she was really well received. So I've been really fortunate. It's been so much fun. I love every minute of it.
Good for you.
Yeah, you have some great guests. That's every Monday on iTunes. So, Heather, where can people, we know the book is going to come out in April. Where can people connect with you and find you and interact with you before the book comes out?
So my website is Heather Hansen Presents, and it's Hansen with an E-N. And there, every Thursday, I come out with a new blog with a video. If you sign up for my email list, you'll get that right away to your inbox. But more importantly, you'll get news on the book. And I'm going to be doing some pre-launch events like free gifts and webinars and all of that stuff. So if you sign up, you will get all of that. And then there's links there to the podcast, to the book, to my speaking, and to my consulting. So that's the place to go.
Is this
Heather
your first
Hansen
book,
Presents.
Heather?
It is. It is.
Congratulations.
My first book. Thank you. It's like having a baby that people are then going to review.
I know.
No, that's awesome. And people can also connect with you because you do snippet your weekly videos on Instagram and Facebook too, right? Or Twitter, Facebook and Twitter?
So, yeah, on Twitter, I'm Heather Hansen with an E-N. And same thing on Instagram. I am, no apostrophe, no A, just I am Heather Hansen. And then on Facebook, the best place to go is Heather Hansen Presents. I have a page.
That is awesome. All right. Well, I'm really looking forward to the book. I'm looking forward to the next time we can have cocktails. You are just a fantastic person, you know, just an all-around great gal. And I really appreciate you being on our show today.
I'm so grateful for our friendship, and I'm so grateful to you guys for having me.
Well, thank you. Heather Hansen of HeatherHansenPresents.com. And we will see you soon. Thanks, Heather.
Yes, thank you very much, Heather. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. We're not done yet, people. Hang with us. We've got segment number 3 on the way. This is 92.9 WBPM.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And we're back one more time this morning with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
So our encore interview there with Heather Hansen from, I guess it was a year ago, because it was January of 19.
A little over a year ago.
I'm hoping it was enlightening for you.
Yeah, I want to mention one thing because there is something that she talks about frequently that I have put into practice, and it's such a small shift, anybody can do it, and it makes a whole lot of sense. And I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. One of her things is when you're conversing with somebody or when you're trying to solve a problem, say, for example, let's say you have a problem with a coworker. And, you know, a lot of us, your normal knee-jerk reaction is to be like, you know, this is how I want it, blah, 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 blah. Her philosophy is ask questions. Like, don't tell, ask. So when you have a situation that you need to resolve and you're trying to explain why or what have you to somebody else, instead of talking at them, ask a lot of questions. And I tell you, when it's appropriate to do that, it really, really works. People get a lot less heated when you're just sort of asking questions as opposed to giving orders. And
I can totally see that.
It's a tiny, tiny shift, and it's hard to explain. It's like you got to kind of try it on for size, and it'll make a little bit more sense. But it makes a lot of sense.
Well, think about it from the receiving end of that. So the difference is I'm not being told what to do or how to think.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's trying to understand me.
Right.
That's what I feel. So
exactly.
I can see how that would open the opportunities up way more than just saying,
and I think
it's
a good thing. Like if you're in a relationship, you know, mm-hmm. you should, you know, instead of fighting with your partner over certain things, if you open a dialogue where you're just asking a lot of questions, it can really keep things from getting heated and enhance a person's relationship. So it's, like I said, you got to get the book. She's got, I think it's like 9 altogether. Don't quote me on the number, but it's an easy read. It's really helpful. You don't have to be a lawyer. It's not about being a lawyer. It's about, you know, the challenges that we face in everyday life as humans, hair twirling and all. and it's a good read.
Unused okay. ovens.
Well, we'll have to have Heather Hansen come back and tell us about all the new things.
And I just like her. I just like her
great.
As a person.
I do remember talking to her, and obviously it was a good interview, so we'll have to have her back here sometime soon.
We will.
All right. Well, anyway, you've been listening to Happy Hour here this morning with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself, and I just want to say a thumbs up to the 13-year-old kid in England who decided on his Instagram account that he was going to do quick reviews of the books he was reading.
Oh.
And when I say quick, they were quick. You know, hey, I love this. Go out and read this book or do this, do that. Well, the kids at school found out that he was doing this and they started to bully him because of the fact that he was probably because he was reading books for one. And then he was doing these little reviews with a picture of the book on his Instagram account. So his sister got upset with this and she asked some of her friends, can you do me a favor and follow his Instagram account? Aww. And they did, but they must have asked some other folks as well, because what his sister was hoping, well, maybe I can get him a couple extra thousand, maybe even 10 or 20,000 people to follow, just so he can say to all those bullies,
that's a lot.
Yeah, take that, Mr. Bully.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead, it blew up to 200,000 followers.
That's awesome.
including some of the authors of some of the books.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
what a great story.
Yeah, there's a feel good for your Sunday morning. For
love
everybody
it.
Else out there, enjoy the rest of your week, and we will
and
be
the
back
extra
again.
Sunshine.
Yes, and the just know that Jonna is happier now with the extra sunshine, so you never know. Next week's show could be a revelation.
Oh, no complaints.
It could possibly happen.
Doubt it. Don't count on it.
Yeah. grain of salt with that one. All right. Happy hour. Back again next Sunday morning right here on 92.9 WBPM at 8 o'clock. And we'll talk to you then. Take care.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 92.9WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.